Welcome to chapel. So this morning is our apologetics chapel, our apologetics class, which is taught by Jerry Hodges, is going to lead us in our time this morning, and so I'm going to turn it over to them.
So C.S. Lewis says that Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or the Lord. And in today's chapel, it's our pleasure to walk through scripture, history, the testimonies of others, and the words from Jesus' own mouth to decide the answer to the question, who is Jesus? In the Bible, if you guys want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, our key verse is Matthew 16, 15. I'm going to start reading in verse 13 just so we can kind of get some context here. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say that I am? And that's the question we want us to be thinking about today. And I encourage you guys to be thinking and prayerfully considering your answer to that question as well. Who do you say Jesus is? Keep that in your mind today. Keep that in prayer as we present the facts to you. And when it's all said and done, we'll have a little bit of, as Skip would put it, a what say you moment. So I'm going to go ahead and pray to open up our service, and then we'll move along. Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity to come together, Lord, and present facts about your life, Lord, your good and awesome life, Lord, without which we wouldn't have life. Just help this not to be a time of entertainment, Lord, but a time of knowledge and of growing closer to you, Lord, a time that can give us tools to help defend our faith and help others see the truth that belongs in a life with you. Just be here with us now, Lord. Bless this service and just bless all the hard work we've put into it, Lord, and just open the hearts and minds of everyone here to be receptive to the message that you have, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus was the first of Heavenly Father and Mother's billions of spirit children and a member of the Godhead. He is the literal Son of God in the flesh through Mary. His suffering in Gethsemane and on the cross secures resurrection for nearly all human beings. He also rose physically and ascended to heaven, and he will return.
Who do you say Jesus is?
I'm a Jehovah's Witness.
The first and only creature made directly by Jehovah God, Jesus was known as Michael, the archangel in heaven. Jesus became a perfect human, no more, no less. He died on a torture stake, not a cross. God raised him as an immortal spirit with no physical body. Christ's second presence happened spiritually in 1914.
Who do you say Jesus is?
I am Islam. Jesus was neither God nor God's son, but a great prophet, second to Muhammad. He was born of a virgin and sinless. God's message through him, the gospel, was corrupted by his followers. Jesus was not crucified, and he did not die, but ascended bodily to paradise. He will come again to bring peace to the world.
I am Hindu. Jesus is just one of many spiritual teachers or masters. So we acknowledge Jesus as one of many avatars or manifestations of Vishnu. We deny that Jesus died to atone for sin or he rose from the dead. We interpret his teachings as hidden meanings to teach Hindu beliefs.
You say Jesus is.
I'm a Buddhist, and I typically view Jesus as a Buddha figure for the West, one of many enlightened ones who showed the way. We reject the idea that his death atoned for sins, and I deny that he rose from the dead. I accept that he was divine only in the same sense that may affirm that the Buddha was divine.
Who do you say Jesus is?
I'm a neo-paganist or a Wiccan. Some reject Jesus or ignore him. Others regard him as a witch or a cultist or highly evolved person adept at using spiritual powers. If they acknowledge that Jesus was a real person, they see no significance in his death and deny his physical resurrection. Most Wiccans and neo-pagans know about Christianity but reject it.
When you say Jesus is.
I am a New Ager. One of the many great teachers, Jesus was one of the many great teachers, a way shower, not the only way though. Jesus was a man who realized his divinity and thus became the Christ. Many think Jesus went east and studied Buddhism or the like. He was not resurrected, but ascended to a higher place of consciousness.
I am a humanist. I believe that we tend to interpret Jesus as a humanist of sorts. He was a teacher of non-judgmental acceptance and service to others. Other secular humanists, we tend to see no value in Jesus as a teacher and even doubt that he existed. We deny that Jesus did miracles, atoned for sin, or rose from the dead.
Who do you say Jesus is?
Well, each of these religions that you just heard about claim Jesus as being something different. But according to the Bible, they are either calling Jesus a lunatic or a liar, because Jesus claimed to be the Messiah, the way to salvation.
We're just kind of going to show some things that Jesus said and when they happened. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And this means that he was the only way to eternal life. Some people think Jesus lied about this, and maybe he didn't know what he was saying, so they were calling him a lunatic. There are 79 different times in the Gospels alone that Jesus says the words, I tell you the truth. And if he was lying, he really went out of his way. He's like, I'm telling you the truth here, you know, like, I'm not gonna lie, here's the truth, you know. When we say, I'm telling you the truth, we're telling the truth. So we can trust that Jesus is too. And some of the events that he told his disciples would happen did happen. For example, Jesus predicted that he would be betrayed in Matthew 17:22, which says, when they came together in Galilee, he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. He again predicted his betrayal in Matthew 26:20-21, which says, when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me.
Jesus' betrayal actually took place in Matthew 26:47-50, when Judas betrayed Jesus. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is a man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Friend, do what you came for."
Jesus also predicted his death and resurrection in Matthew 17, 22-23, and that reads, "When they came together in Galilee, he said to them, 'The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life.' And the disciples were filled with grief."
This occurred in Mark 15, 37, when Jesus breathed his last, and Jesus was later raised in Mark 16, 5-6. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be afraid," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him."
Jesus also foretold the coming of the Holy Spirit in John 16:7. "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you."
And the Holy Spirit came after Jesus' death in Acts 2:1-4. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the house, the whole house, where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." So from these truths that we've showed you, and many more that we haven't said, Jesus did not claim to be a liar or a lunatic, but he claimed to be Lord, the Son of God, and our Savior.
There's our wonderful PowerPoint by Isaac and me. This is eyewitness accounts and secular sources. So you can, next slide, there it is. Okay. There have been many claims suggesting that the Bible is not historically reliable. And what this class goes over is the proof that suggests otherwise. Archaeological findings provide evidence showing that when it comes to the Bible, more than any other ancient manuscript, there is the shortest time gap between when the event happened and when it was documented. And for the New Testament, there is a continuous line of more than 20,000 manuscripts with less than a 25-year time gap between some texts and a 300-year time gap for the entire New Testament contained in one volume. And this, on the left side, those are a bunch of philosophizers and got Caesar up there. Josephus, you got Plato, Aristophanes, and like some made-up names like Thrasisadidas, and you got the date when it happened, and you have the earliest copy that we found, and the number of copies that we have, and the time gap, and the smallest time gap is 400 years. Which is another 100 years longer than the biggest time gap we have for the New Testament. And the largest time gap we have is 1,400 years. And so with all of that, that's just one reason why the Bible is more reliable.
Cool beans, Aaron. So along with what we can learn about Jesus from what he said about himself, there's some stuff that other historians have recorded about him. And these are some of the facts that we can learn about him from their writings. First, he lived during the time of Tiberius Caesar. That's what the Bible says. He lived a virtuous life. He was a wonder worker. He had a brother named James. He was acclaimed to be the Messiah. He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified on the eve of the Jewish Passover. Darkness and an earthquake occurred when he died. His disciples believed he rose from the dead. His disciples were willing to die for their belief, and Christianity spread rapidly as far as Rome, and his disciples denied the Roman gods and worshiped Jesus as God. So a a lot of these things are obviously congruent with the Bible. All of these are. But this just goes to show, along with what Aaron was telling you, that what the Bible is saying is historically reliable. And now I'm going to talk about the eyewitness testimony a little bit from the apostles and the other people who saw him after the resurrection. And here's a quote from Simon Peter. "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Here are some reasons why we have accurate eyewitness testimonies about the life of Jesus, how we know that. Because they included numerous embarrassing details about themselves. They wouldn't have done that if they were making it up. They include numerous embarrassing details and difficult sayings about Jesus, like, "Eat my blood, drink my flesh." That kind of stuff doesn't go over well. They include the demanding statements of Jesus. They include events about the resurrection that they would not have invented. They include at least 30 historically confirmed public figures in the writings. They include divergent details. They challenge their readers to check out verifiable facts, even facts about miracles. So they obviously believed fully that what they were saying was true. They weren't lying. They were telling people, "Here, come check this out. You'll find out that it's true." They describe miracles like other historical events with simple, unembellished accounts. They abandoned their long-held sacred beliefs and practices, adopted new ones, and did not deny their testimony under persecution or threat of death. Again, if you're trying to lie to somebody and they're saying, "Hey, if you're lying, I'm going to kill you," you're not going to continue. You're not going to be put to death for that. So that's pretty convincing. The next slide. The end.
So we've heard all the facts about Jesus, some of them accepting him as Lord, and some of them just filing him away as a liar, a lunatic. So what about you guys? What do you say? Who do you say that Jesus is? I want to take a few moments now and just do kind of a little corporate exercise here, where we just all kind of share who we say Jesus is. So if somebody just said, "Who do you say Jesus is?" what would your one answer response be? And I just want to take a few moments for you guys to go ahead and just blurt them out. Don't feel like you have to do it one at a time. We can have several at a time or whatever, but just kind of share your one word testimony. Who do you say Jesus is? And we'll just take a few moments to do that. The truth is, Jesus is so many things to so many people. He's our provider and our friend and our comforter, and so on and so on. He's the Lord Almighty. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's the Word become flesh. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus is. And now the challenge. Jesus is all these things and more, and for some reason in my life, I don't always live like it. I don't always have the mentality that Jesus is when I'm going through my day. I don't always depend on him or give him praise or trust. And I don't always think, and I don't think that I'm the only one in this category. If Jesus is all these things that we say he is, then why don't we live like it? If Jesus is all these things, then why is it that we don't trust him or depend on him or praise him in all things and give him the glory in all areas of our life? So our challenge to ourselves and to you today is to live like you know who Jesus is. Live like Jesus is all those things that we just said. If we were to live a way that reflected what we think about Jesus, we could see the world flipped upside down like it was 2,000 years ago when he walked on this earth. There's no greater proof or life-changing, life-giving power of Christ than to live a life that reflects the truth. So when someone approaches you and doesn't know who Jesus is or his gospel, who will you say Jesus is? Would you guys pray with me real quick? Jesus, we just come before you humbled, Lord. We thank you so much that you never go through an identity crisis. You know exactly who you are. Lord, help us to understand and know who you are in our lives, Lord, and to live like we know who you are. It's easy to say all these things that you are to us, Lord, but it's hard to live like it. So give us the strength to do it. Give us the humility to do it. Give us the tools that we need, Lord, to live living testimonies of your power and your grace and your mercy, Lord. Help us to be obedient to your call in our lives. Help us to be ready to stand firm for our faith and our beliefs in any situation, Lord, but to do it with love, as you did. Lord, we just ask that you fill our hearts and our minds with a desire to just grow closer to you, Lord, and in that closeness, just to know more deeply every day who you are. We love you so much, and we pray this in your name. Amen.